Wasn't that great? Thank you to everyone who put that together. It's my pleasure now to be able to kind of bring God's word and to tie all of these things together. And as I was thinking about this passage and I was thinking about the world, it seemed to me that most of us really feel instinctively, we know, don't we, friends, that there is something wrong with the world. Now, I'm not just talking about the fact that this year was kind of ruined and didn't go according to anyone's plans with COVID and so on, although that is one of the symptoms of what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is that deep down, we all know, don't we, that things don't really work the way they should. The world doesn't quite work the way it's supposed to. Let me give you some examples. We all know and we teach our children that you build your society around the fact that if you work hard, if you're diligent, if you remain steadfast in your work, then you will do well. We teach our kids that it's important to study hard, to train hard for their sports, to practice diligently at their creative arts like music or so on. And they do, and it pays off, you know. They get better, they get better grades, they play better and so on. But then someone comes in who doesn't study, who doesn't train, who doesn't practice, and they get all the rewards. It seems as if they shine no matter what. How is that fair? Or more negatively, what if you are working hard, training hard, practicing hard, and it just actually doesn't pay off? You don't feel like you're getting it any better. No matter how hard you study, you still remain a C average student. Or no matter how hard you train, you always end up in the B or the C team at sports. No matter how hard you practice, your music just doesn't seem to be nearly as good as other people's. And what if you do succeed and you keep working hard and you keep working diligently and you're doing everything right, but then someone who you know is cheating gets promoted ahead of you at work? Or you lose, pardon me, or you lose your job for something you didn't do. And all of a sudden your hard work was all for nothing. In general, we know that these things should pay off, but in reality they don't always do so. Why is that? Because we live in a deeply flawed world. No matter how hard we work, the world doesn't always work the way it should. And the same is true in our personal lives. You know, for most of us, this year also hasn't gone quite according to how we had planned personally. Maybe you've been searching for the one. You know, yesterday I officiated a wedding. And weddings are just wonderful, aren't they? The bride looks resplendent. The groom looks a little bit nervous, it's this wonderful celebration of love and of bringing together two different people, two different families. And a wedding is a big deal, isn't it? We actually call it the big day. Families will spend hours and hours and thousands upon thousands of dollars getting it just right. Because somehow, deep down, we think that the wedding day is some sort of representation of what the marriage is going to be like. If the wedding day doesn't work, imagine what that means for the rest of their lives. That's kind of what we believe deep down. But then, even if the wedding day is textbook perfect, no one falls over, no one trips, the music is right on cue, the page boy doesn't run off with the rings, and the flower girl actually does the stuff that she's supposed to do, even if everything goes perfectly, it's going to take only 6 months before the husband and the wife start to annoy one another, isn't it? Even though on this day they feel this amazingly deep and passionate love for one another, they soon discover that as perfect as their partner seems to be on the wedding day, they're really just not perfect. There is actually something deeply flawed in their significant other. Turns out, shock horror, that they're actually selfish and rude and they just don't really give you the love and devotion that you deserve. The world is flawed, people are flawed, and the reality is, friends, that no matter how much money or effort or time we put into it, the best we can do is to cover up our flaws with a veneer of makeup. The best we can do is to create the wedding day, so to speak, when the reality is that that's just a cover-up for what really goes on underneath. Life doesn't work the way it should. The world doesn't work the way it should, and if we're honest with ourselves, you and I don't really work the way we should either. And you know, friends, it's only Christianity, of all of the world's religions, including atheism as well, that can give a satisfactory reason to why the world is so deeply flawed. Hinduism says, you know what, the world is just like that because ultimately you kind of deserve your lot in life. It's karma. If you're suffering now, that's because you're kind of paying for sins of your past life, whether you can remember them or not. But you and I know, don't we, that instinctively that's not fair. It's not right for us to suffer now for something that we haven't done. Buddhism says, well, if you're suffering, it's because you want or you expect too much out of this world. The answer, the Buddhist says, is to just want nothing, to get rid of all desire, to completely rid yourself of any want or desire, because then you will be finally free. Then you will experience nirvana. But that fails too. You actually can't live that way. It's completely illogical. You can't want to not want things. That in itself is an illogical statement. No one can ever truly be free of want. It's not possible. And atheism fails too. The atheist says that things are just the way they are because that's just the way they are. Evolution, chance, and chaos combine to kind of make life the way it is, and you can't really do anything about it, so you just better accept it and then go and live a good life. But what is it to you anyway? Because ultimately you don't matter in the big scheme of things. You just live and then you die and then there's nothing left, so you may as well eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. That's a very pragmatic way of looking at life. But the problem with that is, friends, is it actually doesn't answer the deepest, most important questions we have about the universe, about the nature of being. You and I know that we are beings of significance. We have this deep-seated, innate knowledge that we matter in the world. We are eternal beings, and we all want, deep down, to leave some sort of legacy. Something that means something. We want to mean something once we die. That's why people write books and donate money to hospital wings so they can have their plaque on the wall and so on. Because we want to mean something when we're gone. Atheism fails to account for that deep inside thing that humans have to want to mean something eternal. Atheism fails to account for the actual human experience. But Christianity, biblical Christianity, is the only worldview that can truly give us any hope. You see, the Bible tells us two things we need to know if we are to live in a world that is flawed and broken like this. The first thing the Bible teaches us is that the reason the world doesn't work the way it should is because of sin. Is because the world is broken, has been broken by this thing called sin. Sin is really just doing things that are against God's will or not doing the things that God wants us to do. And so because of sin, the world is broken. It doesn't work the way it's supposed to. The reason your hard work doesn't pay off is because the world has been broken through sin. The reason you get overlooked for promotions that you deserve is because the world has been broken through sin. The reason suffering exists in the world is because of sin. The reason a husband and wife start to annoy each other after only 6 months of marriage is because they are sinful people. And the reason you and I can't live up to the moral standards that we have set for ourselves is because our hearts are sinful too. That's the first thing the Bible teaches us, is that the world is broken in sin. It doesn't work the way it's supposed to. The second thing the Bible teaches us is that actually you and I can't do anything about that. We can't fix the sin of the world. No matter how hard we try, we can't fix the root cause of the problem. You know, when you find the perfect partner, they turn out to be not so perfect. When you get work, you work harder, it doesn't seem to matter. When you study harder, train harder, practice more, it doesn't always work. And even if you do manage to achieve something through sheer force of will, suddenly something else will go wrong and stop working. There is always something that is broken in this world. We can't fix the problem no matter how we try. Sin just doesn't go away. It is the one constant problem that humans have had through all humanity, throughout all the ages. The problem with the world is sin, and we can't fix it. We need someone to fix it for us. We can't fix sin. We need a sin fixer. We need someone to come and redeem the world. We need someone to come and redeem us. And friends, that is why Christmas is so important. You know, we sang that hymn, that carol, "O Holy Night." And in it, it says, "Long lay the world in sin and error pining. Long was the world waiting and kind of in this broken state, in this sinful state, waiting for something better, pining for something better. Till he," that is Jesus, "appeared and the soul felt its worth," that it had that sense of significance. We knew at last why we matter. And what does that do? It gives us this thrill of hope as the weary and tired and broken world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. You see, friends, Jesus came into the world to bring this new era, an era where sin could be fixed forever. Jesus came to be born in a stable as the true King of the world to come and fix the world. He came not so that we can celebrate with gifts, not so that we could spend billions of dollars on presents, not even so that we can have a holiday to share the, you know, a Christmas ham with the family. Jesus came with a mission to fix our sin problem. He came to fix a world that lay in sin and error, pining for a different way. He came to redeem. Have you turned to him? If you're not a believer today, friends, I want to urge you, can you take your next step today? Reach out to the person who invited you to join us today and start exploring who Jesus is and how he can fix the sin even in your heart. Because you need saving. You can't fix your own sin problem. You need a redeemer. And if you love Jesus already, friends, can I invite you to come again and see the baby Jesus not just as the bub of the stable, but as the King on a mission who came to fix our sin problem. And then join with us as we fall on our knees to worship him, because with Jesus, truly a new and glorious morning has broken. Come and celebrate the King. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you came to earth as a baby, not just to kind of give us a good time or presents or a Christmas ham with family, Lord, but you came as a King with a mission to free the world from sin, to deal with our deep sin problem. And so, Lord, we want to praise you for that. Help us to fall on our knees and worship you. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.